Thank you, Professor Levrat, for giving me back the floor and for your insightful concluding remarks.
Thank you.
Indeed, two intense days, and we thank you all for still being with us here. We have now almost come to the end of the 16th session of this forum, and it's time for drawing some conclusions of my own. But before doing so, both chairpersons wish to thank for the opportunity we were given to co-preside this 16th session of the forum. We would also like to thank all participants for their remarkable contributions. We believe we had fruitful discussions on all topics and discerned relevant good practices. We would equally like to present our sincere gratitude to the Secretariat and interpreters and all the colleagues who made the running of this event possible and smooth, despite its complexity and intensity in these 2 days. We have also prepared some concluding remarks. I will begin, and my colleague Petra will continue. Turning to the conclusions, I would like to underscore the following. In an evolving global society in which questions of diversity intersect with social and economic considerations, ensuring the effective participation of persons belonging to minorities in social and economic life has become even more pertinent. At international level, there is a discernible gap in addressing several problems encountered by persons belonging to minorities, especially persons in vulnerable situations in the realization of social and economic rights. Many difficult instances were reported in these 2 intense days, along with some solutions to overcome them. We take note of all of them. It is indeed disappointing and saddening to have listened to so many accounts of violence, abuse, and discriminatory behavior. However, there are no quick fixes, and there is no one-size-fits-all approach, but very much adapted to the social and political realities in each state. The end result should thus be that solutions are implemented in order to ensure that social and economic rights are exercised to the fullest by persons belonging to minorities, while at the same time not affecting their inclusion into society where they live, but rather playing to its benefit. Increased engagement by states with the aim of enhancing the socio-economic inclusion of persons belonging to minorities using successful practices has developed around the world, including at regional level or within the framework of various international institutions, and this could prove a useful starting point. Equal access to public goods and services without direct or indirect discrimination should be ensured and is a necessary precondition for the effective social and economic participations of persons belonging to minorities. Attention should also be paid to organize the education systems, including the vocational training, in order to ensure that everyone has equal access to acquire the skills necessary to participate effectively in the economy of states of citizenship and residence, and we took note of all your views. Interstate cooperation is another tool able to assist in the realization of the economic rights of persons belonging to minorities. However, it is imperative that this cooperation is founded on the strict observance of international law and principles which do not accept the kinship argument beyond measures aimed at ensuring the protection of the linguistic and cultural identity of ethnics. Hence, in the absence of the express consent of the state of citizenship or residence, unilateral measures concerning the socio-economic situations of persons belonging to minorities cannot be taken by other state, irrespective of the relation of kinship in between that state and the targeted persons. And this is underscored in the OSCE High Commissioner on National Minorities recommendation on the effective participation of national minorities in the social and economic life, which further qualifies such discriminatory unilateral support as contributing to tensions and even leading to conflict. Hence, dialogue in general about the promotion and the protection of the rights of persons belonging to ethnic, religious, and linguistic minorities, which the 92 Declaration on their rights underlines, contribute in no small way to their equality, social inclusion, socioeconomic participation, and to the social stability of the states where they live, and more broadly, to regional and global political and social stability. The importance attached to UN spaces for dialogue, meaningful participation and exchanges, such as this forum, where stakeholders are able to participate and contribute in a free and open manner to exposing problems and advancing solutions and ensuring the effective realization of their individual rights, including in the socioeconomic sphere, must be equally emphasized. As it has been stated in the opening session, this year's forum has been unique since it has also prefaced the 75th anniversary of the Universal Declaration on Human Rights and has been tailored to accommodate, and we managed to accommodate all voices in this year's forum. Before concluding my remarks, please allow me to quote Martin Luther King Jr., "Almost always, the creative, dedicated persons belonging to minority have made the world better. So I invite you all to be creative and focus on comprehensive strategy." Thank you for your attention. This concludes my remarks, and I now pass the floor to Petra.